All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not just sucking up to my next guest. This is how I've said this before. She's been on our show multiple times. I'm now introducing to a new listenership on LibertyOneTV.com, as well as listeners that may not have ever even heard the name Charlotte Iserbeet, somebody who I consider to be a national treasure. She was born in Brooklyn, New York in 1930, attended Dana Hall Preparatory School and Catherine Gibbs College in New York City, where she studied business. Her father and grandfather were Yale University graduates and members of Skull and Bones Secret Society. She served as the senior policy advisor in the Office of Educational Research and Improvement for the U.S. Department of Education during the first term of U.S. President Ronald Reagan, where she came across a federally funded grant entitled Better Education Skills Through Technology, part of which was headed what we, U.S. Department of Education, can control and manipulate at the local level. After leaking the document to Human Events, she was removed from her post in the U.S. Department of Education. She later served as a staff employee for the U.S. Department of State in South Africa, Belgium, Korea. She wrote the book, Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. I bring back to the Pete Santilli Show, but maybe for the first time, what you're about to hear and the voice of Charlotte Iserbeet and what she's done over the better part of 45 years fighting this fight that we're about to talk about on many different levels. But it is the truth that is backed up by facts. I put an article. Now, we're going to talk about the Heritage Foundation and many other topics throughout this hour. But welcome back to the show, Charlotte Iserbeet. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Pete, and we want to welcome you back to what maybe it's looking more abnormal than it did when you were, in that box.
you know, believe it or not, Charlotte, can I tell you something? There was something that happened here that had a direct impact on me. I'm going to take us away from what we're here to talk about. But listen to this. Neil Gorsuch, the Supreme Court Justice, just ruled in favor of the U.S. Constitution as it applied to me. I would not have been in that box, the Motel 6, I call it, for 619 days if he had ruled 2 years ago. I would not have been there for that long if he'd ruled this way. And it's a
I didn't know about that ruling. That's great. I'm glad to hear a good ruling. And maybe his next ruling, the big ruling, will be pro-life. Wouldn't it be nice, huh?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I literally just got the goosebumps when you said that, because I'm now seeing that this was a Scalia-like ruling, that President Trump himself nominated this guy, and the mainstream media, of course, is out there. The New York Times is saying, oh, President Trump lost on a deportation. And that's not the truth. They're actually spinning this thing. They're saying they're using it to bash Trump. But ultimately, even Trump probably doesn't even know this, because Sessions has fed him the wrong information. But Gorsuch ruled constitutionally. And there's that possibility.
Well, we got a long list. We want him to check off in the right column, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Now, we got a lot of work to catch up on.
Charlotte, listen, there's people that are hearing your voice right now that are hearing it for the first time. They don't know that what we're about to talk about, that you have decades. You've actually been working towards fixing these things we're going to talk about for longer than some of the people that are listening have been on the planet, for 45 years plus.
Well, and actually, I was thinking it goes back even further when I went over during the volunteered. I was, 22 years old, and I volunteered to go overseas with the American Red Cross during the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of the beginning of my, I had been abroad, to Europe, on trip before that, but that was the beginning of the education of Charlotte. And I saw so much working with the GIs, you know, airmen, first at a strategic air command base on Guam, and then I didn't get into Korea. They changed my orders last time, but the last minute. But I was on Guam, strategic air command, with the big bombers who were going into Korea and all. And then I was moved to another air base outside of Tokyo, and then up north to Hokkaido, Shitose Air Force Base. And then I made that huge trip that Alex Jones did. It's on the website. People can find it. You know, it was a big, before Alex sort of went the other way, he did an incredible, you know, it's four disc interview of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, people can find that. And that's sort of around the world. It gives the background. And I was very young, and I was seeing a lot. I mean, you know, French Indochina was going down. It was before the Vietnam War. I was in Saigon. I it's a funny life. I mean, it's a very interesting life, but I've just seen a lot. And I'm not brilliant by any means, but I know that. I don't say that to be humble. You know, I don't think my IQ is much better than most people's, but I have a very, very good memory, unbelievable memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember every single thing anybody's ever said to me or what's been done. And, you know, and I've got to do my memoirs one of these days, but which I'm working on. But so I was in South Africa, right? Cape Town for a while and stationed there and then in Brussels and during the Katanga incident with, you know, down in the Belgian Congo, the horrible, you know, the cables coming in, the UN raping nuns and all that stuff, and working for Ambassador Douglas MacArthur II, that was a nephew of the general, seeing a lot in Brussels, met my husband, and we got married. Then I went to, of all places, why? Grenada. Well, because my husband was a yachtsman, and we had bought an old schooner in France, and he fixed it all up, sailed across the Atlantic. We had a charter business out of that gorgeous island, Grenada, in the West Indies. Well, I saw what was going to happen. I could see it happening where we were living, overlooking the lagoon. You know, all these strange boats coming in, Stokely Carmichael trying to make trouble in the West, in Grenada. Well, later on, you know, 8 years later, the Soviet regime is installed there. And Reagan, one good thing he did, the only thing I can ever think that was good that he did, he did rescue my Grenadian friends. So it was a real Stalinist regime. Well, anyway, I'm saying this because this is all before I get into the U.S. Department of Ed. And then I get in there. Oh, I run for school board. And I'm just like a deer in the headlights of all this stuff and not really figuring out much. But and then I hear, you know, these strange things happen. A teacher calls me and I'm making noise on the school board. I got elected. And this, I'm always terrified when anybody would call me because they all hate my guts up there in Camden, Maine, because I was going against the globalist, humanist, no values, no Christianity, you know, whatever agenda that was coming through in the schools in the 70s. And so I have no friends at all in the community. It's a very liberal community. And this teacher calls, here we go again. And then she says, you know, I just love what the positions you're taking on the school board. I thought, what? And she said, but I don't think you really understand what you're looking at. I mean, how come I, Charlotte, run into people like this? So then she says, I want you to go for in-service training in how to become a change agent. And I said, well, what's that? Well, actually, I should have known because my superintendent was one. His name was Tom Marks, appropriate, out of Harvard. I rather liked him. We got along all right, but he was making these big changes, all the destructive value stuff and all. So anyway, she pays for me to go. And I go to this in-service training, and the facilitator there, he has this big book called Innovations in Education, a Change Agent's Guide. And it's published, it's put together by Ronald Havelock, a professor in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He got the money from what would subsequently become my office in the Department of Ed. Think about it. I didn't know that at the time. And so I hear whatever listening, and he says he's talking to all of us about resistor. He's, how to identify resistors in the community. That would be me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, huh? We're being taught, we teachers, so-called, you know, this is changes, this is training for teachers and all. I'm not a teacher, but I was there because I was a school board member. I infiltrated, huh? And they're teaching me how to identify myself.
Wow.
And then I thought back to my travels in the Far East, you know, coming back on the Vietnam freighter. I came back. It took 2 months to come back from Hong Kong to Marseille. And I met with all these refugees who were coming out of China and Vietnam. And they told me all these horrible stories. I was in third class, which was good. I couldn't afford anything other than that, but good food, French food, one, you know. And they spoke French, most of them. I did, too. And so I heard all these stories, horrible stories, you know, about my grandfather, who was the leading pianist in China, a resistor, got his hands cut off.
Mm.
And then the Vietnam woman, she said that her grandfather was head of a town of Vietnam, and they cut his head off, he resisted, and marched it around on a pole. And here's little Charlotte, I'm listening to this stuff, and I never, he said, maybe that, I said, how can anybody forget stuff like this? But then, when this facilitator tells us how to, we're meant to go out and identify the resistors to all these values-destroying programs in the schools. And I was one of them. That's why I ran for school board. So okay, I thought, huh, what's happened to my country? They're identifying resistors? Well, you know, everybody's talking about it now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And with what's going on in the United States with a community-oriented policing system, and which I personally know, we could cover that in another interview. You know, the public-private partnerships given to us by Ronald Reagan. Oh, thank you. I was liaison. Again, I get into the Department of Ed. I don't know why they ever put me there. Then I'm in all these different offices which are attached to my office, Office of Educational Research and Improvement. I'm in the National Diffusion Network office, which spewed out all the values-destroying programs in the 70s, 80s, and still does, right? Maine got the gold medal for taking most of them. Okay, I'm in that office. I'm in the School Choice office, which is School Choice and Charters. I see all of that. I see all the technology. Wow, they had a huge conference. It must have cost the taxpayers millions of dollars, bringing all these tech guys, you know, Bill Gates, the whole crowd in when I first arrived there, French restaurants sort of every night. And I'm involved with all these techie guys. That's why I hate, you know, computers. I understand it really very well, the dangers of computers in the schools, that is, right, using them for curriculum. But, you know, so... what happened? I mean, why? Well, then I get myself fired, right? I leak the document. We get in the department. I see all this stuff because my boss, he even assigned me to be liaison with a White House private sector initiative. Why did he do these things? I think he wanted to clean up the mess, probably, and he thought, well, I can't do it. I'm going to get in trouble. Let Charlotte do it.
Let's get Charlotte to do it, huh? Wow, Charlotte.
Yeah, so I end up in all those offices where I see everything that's happening now, and I tried, but of course everything I ever wrote was boycotted by the very people, like I talk about Heritage. Heritage runs all the Republican administrations, it always has, right, since the time Reagan got in, the briefing books. I mean, he's totally controls Trump. And what we're looking at in the Middle East and everything.
Yes,
I mean, the whole, I see, so what I've been able to do, not being particularly, I don't think, high IQ, but memory's great. And I had the opportunity somehow, God Almighty kept putting me in these
Charlotte,
important places.
Charlotte,
yeah.
if you could,
that's
we're
going
to push, as your memory may recall being on the P. Santilli Show and other radio shows. You've done a lot of them. We have to take a break here. We'll be back right after this short message. So stay right there.
Okay.
We'll be back. Hold on. Come Take a Coffee is a small family business in Washington State that packs a really big punch.
ComeTakeItCoffee.com was formed for one reason, to bring light back to our veterans and encourage businesses to support the ones that signed up to defend our freedoms. Being a veteran-owned business, ComeTakeItCoffee.com gives back to our deployed, wounded, and veterans with every single purchase. A roast-to-order coffee company that takes pride in their mission, attention to quality, and their coffee. They bring the world's best coffee beans to roast in their Puget Sound facility. And they take it one step further. They process raw beans in-house with chemical-free, alkalized water to remove every chemical from their product. Come Take It Coffee makes the smoothest, longest-lasting, and best-tasting natural pick-me-up with zero chemicals that you'll ever try. Once you come take it, you won't give it back. Go to ComeTakeItCoffee.com and place your order today.
From sweet and spicy to fiery, bold and full of flavor, Brother Doc's is not your typical beef jerky. Never dry and brittle. This jerky comes beautifully packaged with large cuts of meat that are moist, tender, and chewy from beginning to end. Brother Doc's recipes contain the highest quality ingredients that result in innovative flavor masterpieces, like orange teriyaki, barbecue mesquite, and their signature bold pepper flavors properly named Volcano and Burnout. Moderate pricing and great flavor will have you in beef jerky heaven. Go to sbn.buzz/brotherdocs to place your order so Doc knows you heard about him here on the Pete Santilli Show. It's true what they say about Brother Doc's beef jerky. One bite and you'll be a believer too.
Pete Santilli is a right-wing radio host. If you think other right-wing radio hosts are over the top, wait till you get a load of Santilli.
Miss Hillary, the freaking biggest vagina on the face of the planet.
I think that's all.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumb for having listened to this. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on you all.
You're listening to the Santilli Show. One small step for man, one giant leap towards the truth.
You know, each time I have Charlotte Izzerbeat on, I learn something new about her background. But let me clarify. What she has worked towards is exposing the truth as a whistleblower. Right from the very beginning, she realized that she was tasked with exposing herself as a resistor of those bad things to, you know, to we Americans, we the people. She's a patriot. She is well-studied, well-written, well-documented. Everything we're going to talk about is backed up with facts, links, everything she's done for the better part of 45 years, and that's why I refer to her as a national treasure, and I'm so honored to have her back on the show. Charlotte, you, through the Department of Education, you blew the whistle. You realize that what they were installing, essentially, it's uncomfortable to say this because I'm a Reagan Republican, born and raised. We've had this discussion before. But what you were installing was a Soviet-styled education system. And you said, this isn't right. This is communism that we're putting in place. And that was decades ago, was it not?
Well, yes. I mean, we saw it because we have the agreements. They're on the Internet. And the agreement between Reagan and Gorbachev to merge the two education systems. And interestingly enough, it wasn't just education. It also dealt with municipal government, so education, cultural, social, municipal government, which would be regionalism and, you know, breaking down the borders and boundaries and all the communist system. Regionalism is communism. And, so I did see it. And of course, the thing that really proved, interesting enough, most people wouldn't know that, I don't think that I did at the time, but when I went over to the White House, this was before Reagan signed the agreements with Gorbachev to merge the two systems, but when I went over for the White House private sector initiative. Doesn't that sound nice?
Yeah.
I mean, that sounded really nice. So,
sure.
I don't know. My boss sends me, and I'm over there with all these, you know, normal-looking people and, you know, big peony, vases of peonies and down cushions on couches, and everybody's mixing in regard to this new initiative. And I just, because I don't know why, Pete, I hadn't had that much. I didn't go to 4 years of college. I went to business school, but I traveled a lot, and I guess that's where I got my education mostly. I said, well, isn't that, I didn't say socialism, and I didn't say communism. I said, isn't that corporate fascism?
Mm.
I don't know how I knew that, really.
Mm.
I still don't know why I said that, but please don't even ask me what corporate, I do know what it is. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But I saw the merger of the public and private sector, and I thought, that's not possible, because then you don't have any representative government.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at me and they said, oh, I don't think anybody ever looked at it that way. And then I found, it's in my book, you know, Washington Post covered it and said Ed Meese was all involved in it, you know, Reagan's big guy and the counselor in the department in the White House and still at Heritage, right? And he was Weinberger, remember Cap Weinberger? He was all involved in the public-private partnership. Now, that, you see, sounds a lot, it's benign. Sounds benign compared to fascism, socialism, communism, doesn't it? So people fell for that. It's very, very dangerous. And that is why we're going down now. I took the stand right from the beginning in my office against tax-funded school choice. I knew that there was no way you could have choice with tax money attached to it because you have to conform. I knew that from working in the State Department and Department of Ed with grants.
Mm-hmm.
The rules are that you take the money and you conform. You do what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that would be the end of private education, Christian education, et cetera. Of course, Trump put it in. He knew darn well before he ran. He even had a book, what was it, Refractured America, whatever it's called. He called for it.
Mm.
And I didn't say much, you know, let's not get into the Hillary story because, I mean, of course, most people, what kind of a choice did we have?
Right.
We never have a choice, just like Quigley said,
right.
You know, in Tragedy and Hope, it controlled both parties at the top. This is the industrialists back in the late 1800s. And then they think they're going to get who they're voting for, and they get who we want. Because both candidates are the same, always.
Right.
Always. And it's just, I finally think maybe little Charlotte has figured that one out. But the change in our system going in right now, it is the communist system. I mean, the education thing, polytechnical education, is workforce training. And that is why they needed the school choice charters. And, by the way, Russia has charters, has had them for years. I mean, charters are essential for workforce training. And that's the quota system. And it's easy to understand in a way. Say your son or daughter or whatever, say your son, he always wanted to be a car mechanic, okay? From the time he was 1 year old with his little cars on the floor, right? And that was what he wanted to be. And then he gets to be in fourth grade or something, and they're identifying, you know, what he's meant to be, and they're not going to ever figure out that that is really what he wants to be. But he's still got it in his head. And then he gets to be 12 or 14 with a workforce training going on in right now through charter schools. Can't do it without charter schools. Can't do it without federal money and corporate money and no elected officials, right?
Mm.
Can't do it. But all of a sudden, you know, the corporation was down the road or wherever, and eventually your kids are going to be shipped all over the world, by the way. There are good quotes in my book on that, across borders, et cetera. But so they've let's say they've got, I said he wants to be a, whatever I said he wanted to be. So the corporation tells the school we have 10 slots for mechanic. Was that what? Whatever it was, I can't remember what I said. But anyway, whatever your son or daughter want to be, you know, they have 10 slots. They wanted to do that all their life, and then the corporation says we've only got 10 openings. So your son and daughter do not get the training. Now, there's a Professor Boyce out of the University of Georgia, a very good quote in my book, and he's no conservative. He's telling the truth. He understands communism. And he says, in communist countries, they do not educate for jobs that don't exist. Now, what does that mean? That means that if there's not a job opening or training there, your child's not going to get the training. He can't. If they're not part of that quota. Now, that's what Donald Trump has given us. But that makes sense. He's a businessman. But he doesn't quite understand free enterprise. He doesn't understand pure capitalism. He never read Carnegie Corporation's Conclusions and Recommendations, the little book I always quote from, 1934. And Carnegie was part of the agreements, too. They signed agreements with the Soviet Academy of Science, same time Gorbachev signed with Reagan, the education cultural, etc. And Carnegie said in 1934, I put Carnegie, number one culprit, we will use the schools to change the United States capitalist economic system to a planned economy. And it said, in some cases, even to take our land. People should go read that. Even at my son's website, AmericanDeception.com.
Yes. As a matter of fact,
it's a free download, that book. That book is a free. Look, it's a PDF. You could go there. You could read it. You don't have to believe me. And also the whole membership of the Order at Yale with all of the background information. Sam put that up just a year before he got shot, huh?
And
every single member of the Order at Yale, Skull and Bones, since 1832, is there through 1984. And you can read about all these people.
Yes.
These people that are running the world.
Now let me ask you something here, because I want you to, and by the way, I put up on the screen here, AmericanDeception.com, and we will provide that link in today's episode for everybody to go there. And this is a library of so much information, it's overwhelming. Everything that you're referring to is basically backed up with full documentation. Tell me about that period of time where, because your father and your grandfather are Yale University graduates, members of Skull and Bones, when did you decide to go forward and say, you know what this secret society is all about is not good for society, and I want to share that with the general public. When did you decide?
Well, you know, I really didn't. I give the credit to Anthony Sutton on that.
Okay.
It was a fluke again. My dad was dying of cancer. I was taking care of him down in New Jersey in 1984. And I'd been talking to Anthony Sutton mainly because of I was very interested in Soviet. I was also in Soviet affairs in the State Department and Middle Eastern in the State Department. So I've always been interested in foreign affairs, but especially Soviet affairs, and Sutton was great on that. You know, he'd done the books on Wall Street and Hitler, Wall Street, and the Soviet Union and all this stuff. And for some reason, Sutton and I were in touch. And he calls me one day. Well, actually, he calls me because we've been chatting, and he asks me, he said, I just don't understand. I can't figure out where are the directions coming from with this real treason going on, right? Funding the Soviet Union and funding Hitler. And he said, you know, I often wonder about the Order at Yale. And I said, you asked me, how this happened. It was a fluke. I didn't. Sutton was the one who really caused this. So he asked me about it. I said, well, that's interesting because I just received, Dad was, are you still there, Pete?
Yes, yes, he's yes.
Okay. Just today, the postman had brought these black books, catalogs, you know, very nicely binded, bound, et cetera, of the membership of the order at Yale.
Mm.
I said, I haven't looked at them yet, but I took them into Dad, and he looked at me. He was in bed, you know, he's dying, really. And he said, God, he said, Char, they never did that before, you know, putting the names in books.
Mm.
And so I told Sutton, and he said, would you mind lending them to me? And I thought, you know, I've sort of being disloyal to my father. I really didn't know how evil they were
mm-hmm.
up until then. And I said, okay, you know, because I knew that he would do something good with them, which he did.
Mm.
He said, he actually told me later, the most important one that he did was how the order controls education.
Mm.
And so he pulled that stuff out. And a lot of people don't understand this, Sutton was responsible for getting Charlotte to understand what her father and grandfather, my dad wasn't involved in anything. You know, it's only about 10% of the members of the order that are.
Mm-hmm.
They're always close, right, you know, from the beginning to the end. You know, Milligan's book, Fleshing Out Skull and Bones. Chris asked me to do a chapter in that book. People should go there, too. That's good. It's on the Internet. It's actually, my son has it on his website, Fleshing Out Skull and Bones. Wonderful book. And Chris asked me to do a chapter in there that is a pretty good chapter, a daughter's take on the order. So anyway, so Sutton does. He gets it. I send it to him. Then he calls me and he says, I put them all. You know, he went to Kinko or whatever, got the copy names down, and he started reading all the stuff. And he said, all of a sudden, you know, this is it. He said, I've got my answer. This is where it's coming from. And I said, well, gee. That's interesting, because I didn't know until that time, really. I mean, Dad had talked a bit. I'm not saying I didn't have some idea, because there were some pretty bad things that Dad had, maybe a few drinks at night, you know, and he'd smoke a cigar, and he'd make comments about some of his friends that were high up with NATO or you know, the UN or one thing or the other, and he'd chuckle, you know, sort of like, huh. How'd they ever get there? Hmm? You know, so I did know some stuff, but I was la-la land, sort of. But I give him credit, complete credit. I mean, he was lucky that I happened to have the books. And then we decided, you know, after a long time, Sam decided about, what, let's see, it's about 3 years ago, to put the names up with the background. Prior to that, we had the names just.
Mm-hmm.
Then we decided to put the background, which is about an inch or two, depending on how important they were, you know, the Bushes and the Harrimans and the Buckleys and you name them.
Rockefellers,
and,
yeah.
So we did that. And at the time, you know, Sam, he thought, well, we put everything else up there. Let's just do it. And then, as I said, a year later, he got the biggie. But we don't know. We're not at all sure where the word came on that one. I mean, we just don't know. You never do know, right? I mean, you can only speculate. But that's the story on
what
the
is,
order.
What is the biggie? Explain what the biggie is for Anthony Sutton when we come back from this break. Okay. Yeah. And then we'll continue on. And Charlotte, do me a favor.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep you for an extra segment over the top of the hour. Will you stay with me? We're going to have to go over because there's a lot more information that I want our listeners to hear. Will you stay with
okay,
me?
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, yeah. Good. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen. An amazing, amazing history lesson here. We get every time we speak with Charlotte Isabeat. I'm so honored to have her on, and I'm so pleased that you're here to capture this moment. We'll be back right after this message.
People folks today, both young and old, are more health conscious now than ever before in our history. People want good, clean, natural foods and supplements. And you're never too young or old to start taking care of yourself. Every product sold by the Health Ranger store has been extensively tested in the Consumer Wellness Center labs and is verified low heavy metals. Headed by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the lab developed a rating system that represents a new standard in consumer food safety, and the Health Ranger store carries only those products rated A and above. If you've never visited the Health Ranger store, here's a great place to start. Go to sbn.buzz/Health Ranger and check out our top five favorite items found at the Health Ranger store. Click any of the links on that page and you're in for an overwhelming experience. The Health Ranger store is by far one of the most comprehensive health and wellness stores in the world today. Go to sbn.buzz/Health Ranger or click any of the links in today's show description box and visit the Health Ranger store today.
Virtual Shield is an easy-to-use VPN, which you can run on your phone and computers. It will encrypt all of your traffic, and you can choose where in the world you want to transport yourself, or even change your location. Virtual Shield is the world's most easy-to-use virtual private network service. Just download, install, and press connect. Voila! Your information will be kept private from those nosy, unconstitutional advertisers that want to sell your personal information for profit. This isn't getting better. In fact, it's getting much worse. Stop being bullied by big data and start fighting back. Click the link below to protect your privacy now with Virtual Shield VPN. Thanks for listening.
Gumtaki Coffee is a small family business in Washington State that packs a really big punch. GumtakiCoffee.com was formed for one reason, to bring light back to our veterans and encourage businesses to support the ones that signed up to defend our freedoms. Being a veteran-owned business, GumtakiCoffee.com gives back to our deployed, wounded, and veterans with every single purchase. A roast-to-order coffee company that takes pride in their mission, attention to quality, and their coffee. They bring the world's best coffee beans to roast in their Puget Sound facility. And they take it one step further. They process raw beans in-house with chemical-free, alkalized water to remove every chemical from their product. Come Take It Coffee makes the smoothest, longest-lasting, and best-tasting natural pick-me-up with zero chemicals that you'll ever try. Once you come take it, you won't give it back. Go to ComeTakeItCoffee.com and place your order today. People today, both young and old, are more.
Charlotte, you know, before we went to the break, you mentioned that Anthony Sutton, was Anthony Sutton the first to expose this secret society called Skull and Bones cooperating with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he was the first one, I think, who really, I mean, that what's-her-name who wrote that silly book that they, you know, they managed to get it out, Alexandra Robbins. You know, she was a member of the Order, actually, let the girls in, but she wrote that book. I think they got her to do it quickly, you know, when Anthony was getting his out. They managed to get it out at the same time.
But Charlotte, something is happening with your phone.
Something's happening with my phone?
Now it's okay. It was just a second ago. You were moving it around. We couldn't hear you.
Probably was. Well, Sutton's book on the Order came out at the same time that Alexandra Robbins' book came out. And, of course, they gave her all the publicity because she didn't have anything of importance in there, right? And, you know, so I think that, I think your question was he the first one? Yes. You know what? There was a good movie, The Bell, I think. It was Ford, a good actor. What's his name? His father. Glenn Ford, huh?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there have been some good movies, but there was never this kind of research. I mean, that we had, that Tony got a lot more. I mean, I had the membership list and the background of the people, which was totally secret. I mean, what, Tim Russert disappeared very quickly, remember?
Yes.
After he interviewed Bush about the order, and then Rutherford died.
Ah. Wow, I never made that connection. That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
And so they don't want this information out. And then you ask me the big hit. Well, sandwich one attempted.
Are you moving your phone around?
No, maybe that we're being interfered with. The big hit. Do you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you perfect. Go ahead.
Oh, well, within 8 months, he had one attempted hit where the police made the discovery materials. They made a huge mistake when we got the discovery materials. They included the audio of the police planning to pop Sam in the head. And then one of the police officers, who managed to keep the other one from doing it, I think he realized it was not a good idea, said it's not federal now. So we feel that both hits, I'll mention the second one too, may have been federal.
Now, for those that don't know who you're talking about, your son. We're getting some feedback there. Sorry about that. Your son published all of the documentation on AmericanDeception.com. And your son has basically been, he was brought to death in a hit, and actually died upon arrival and was revived. But a hit upon your son for having, and we can make the connection, for having exposed all these documents on this website, AmericanDeception.com, correct?
Yeah, we're not sure of that. And the thing is that the second hit was a big eight. And the first one didn't succeed. The second one, as you said, yes, he was nearly without pulse, without oxygen. As you say, he was alive.
Yeah, we're being messed with right now, Charlotte, by the way.
Yeah, I don't want this out at all. But anyway, people can find it at Brents.com. The links are there.
Yes.
Jeff Brents, completely. While you were being held in a box, Jeff was coming on.
Oh, this is so appropriate that they're doing this to us right now, okay? Because we had a perfect connection until now. Charlotte, can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Oh, my goodness. They're messing with our phone line, no doubt about it. But, Charlotte, please continue on. So exposing Skull and Bones, being a whistleblower about the what happened with the Department of Education, you have for decades now continued to try to educate the public on what's been happening to them incrementally. This has happened. It's not like you were screaming about something that everyone recognized was happening to them. This is a slow, incremental, strategic process over multiple decades, multiple generations to install what we're suffering from right now. And we don't even realize what we're wallowing in right now, do we? Oh, my goodness. Charlotte, you know what? I'm going to reconnect you right now. Go ahead and hang up. I'm going to reconnect you.
Good. I'm back.
Oh, yes. I can't believe this. Wow. I'm laughing just because it's so obvious. Sounds like somebody was on the phone at the NSA just rubbing the phone or something in their lap.
Hi.
Oh, perfect. Okay, excellent.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you said something, yeah, it was incremental, and sometimes I think that God kept me stupid, or whatever it is I am. I just walk into these things like a deer in the headlights, and I absorb it all because I have a good memory, but I really refused so often to believe that any of this could really be part of a big plan.
Mm.
I had the quote from the San Diego, the professor at the University of California, that regionalism is communism.
Mm-hmm.
I had that. That bothered me. And I would get it out as much as I could, but nobody wanted that out. And, you know, so I was just a sort of strange person wandering through this forest, bumping into different trees that, I remembered what happened there, but I was unhappy because I love the United States and the Constitution. I love the world, actually. See, I think that had a lot to do with it. My foreign service thing. I love the world. I've never met anybody in any country I've lived in where I didn't like them. And I hate all this division of all of us, you know, color, race, religion. It just drives me crazy. That was a bottom line with me always. And I was always looking at it from that, and I still feel that way. I'm very angry about what's going on right now, and especially in the Middle East. And I worked in Middle Eastern affairs for 2 years in the State Department, too, in the 50s, during the whole Suez Canal thing and and our policies towards Israel. I'm sorry, you know. I mean, we have to face facts. That doesn't make – I mean, look, you got Brother Nathaniel. Thank God for him. He's speaking out about what's going on in U.S. policy, and that makes me sick. And that doesn't mean the people themselves. I'm talking about governments.
Charlotte, have you been, being that you were with the Reagan administration, politically, over your, you know, the history of your activism, have you been pretty much conservative, conservative leading? I assume you were, right?
Oh, well, yes, I was brought up that way. You know, my dad was the mayor of three towns, and, you know, he would, anybody mess around with the Constitution or try to break down a border between the towns, and, you know, he'd be, he'd fight right to the death. I was brought up that way, and I was brought up as a very sound Christian. I was Episcopalian. I am now converted to very traditional Catholicism, which, of course, is detested by the Pope. You know, he's a Marxist. You know, let's call him what he is, huh?
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
So I'm not defending the Catholic, the new Catholic Church. But I was brought up very traditional. You know, I was Anglican. That's very close to the Catholic Church. And my dad was very religious. My mom, we were just plain normal people for back then.
Yeah.
That's when Americans were normal.
Okay, so hear me out here, because I want you to finish this part of the segment. We'll go you know, into the top of the hour. So you essentially, as a quote unquote, as a resistor to those bad things within each element, whether it be politics, religion, education, and you're noticing, hey, you know, we're the Reagan administration. We're not supposed to be installing communism politically. Let's start. Let's segue to this topic. You have something called the Heritage Foundation. You've got these conservative political organizations that are trying to advance, you know, traditional family values and so on and so forth. Okay? Tell us about that evolution as you learned about that organization called the Heritage Foundation. It's been around a long time. I've known that name, being a conservative Reagan Republican, for my whole life. The Heritage Foundation's been around.
I think they started in the 70s, and they really weren't that bad. Paul Weyrich, I believe, started it. And then, as I said, you've got my article there. It's an important article.
I do.
The Council for National Policy, of course, has about 300 or 400 members, all of whom are Trumpsters. This is shocking. And then you've got Heritage itself, which I saw with Ed Meese. Ed Meese, the counselor for the president, you ought to go read, you were in the box when I wrote that. It's called Patriots or Manchurian Candidates. It was an article I wrote about for warning Trump to be very careful. You ought to write that down. I hope your listeners will just plug that in.
I am.
Patriots or Manchurian Candidates. I was warning the president to be very careful about the appointees, and I talked about what happened with Reagan, and you see the letter that I wrote Reagan after I still believed in him, right, and told him what was going on after I got fired, a long letter, and that letter, the whole story about that letter is in the Patriots and Manchurian Candidates. I never got an answer, and Ed Meese was very involved. Ed Meese is the one who selected for Reagan Ted Bell from Utah as Commissioner of Education. I'll come right out and I will tell you one thing, that was a communist. Ted Bell. And that was what I was looking at in the department, pure communism going in through different programs. And Reagan took him on board because Ed Meese, who is the one who's now pushing the community-oriented policing system, which is the East German Stasi. in our towns across the country. I've seen it in Portland, Maine, in regard to the two incidents that my son had happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Where the that's a public-private partnership. Again, here we are. I was the White House, you know, I was the liaison with the White House. Private-public-public-private partnerships. That's where the elected officials, goodbye. That's the end of our representative form of government. And that started under Reagan.
Okay, so Charlotte, you personally, in the Department of Education, this is not some conspiracy theory, you're in the Department of Education as a liaison, seeing Edwin Meese and Casper Weinberger install this White House private sector initiative, which was corporate fascism.
Yes.
Wow.
And a whole list of all these other people, too. It's in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Deliver Dummy Down. By the way, folks, my website, deliverdummydown.com, has been down for about a month. It's nothing, you know, I'm not being paranoid or anything, because it's just a stupid hoster that disappeared from the planet. And so my website's been down, deliverdummydown.com. And so, but it will be up shortly, where we've had to remove it, give it to a marvelous activist in New Hampshire to handle. But the book itself, the DeliverDumbingDown.com, is a free PDF at my son's website as well, AmericanDeception.com. And you can read it, download it, and everything is there. The index is fantastic to go through first, identify what you want to look at. So that everything I've ever written is pretty much available. But I also want to make a point that from the minute I got myself fired, right, then I wrote Back to Basics Reform, or Skinnerian International Curriculum, a little 39-page book of Comp-Based Ed. That was boycotted by every single conservative group in this country. Now stop and think. I'm going to repeat that. Why?
Why? Why? We're going to end on that note. Stay right there. We're going to go to the top of the hour news break and come back. I'm going to keep Charlotte. There's no way I'm going to let her go right now because there's so much to talk about. And that question, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Iserbeat. I called her a national treasure, somebody who is a whistleblower extraordinaire, a resistor on all of our behalfs, being stifled by the conservative party, the movement. And the question is, why? Why?
Since 2011, the Peace and Silly Show has been powered by people like you who want more than just another daily dose of mainstream media. Because of you, we've been able to reach millions of people worldwide. Without you, none of it would have been possible. Asking for your help is never easy, but we know you want a network that knows how important it is that you get the best, most up-to-date information when news breaks in your community and around the world. And when it comes to information giving to you fast and on time, nobody does it better than SBN. With you behind us, SBN has been able to bring historical events right into your living room in real time, in their entirety, as they happen. No other news source can make that claim. Now more than ever before in the history of the free press have we been so close to losing it. There is a concerted effort to shut down voices that bring you the good news of liberty and the global threat to freedom. The liberal left has a plan to destroy conservative alternative media by denying us the right to freedom of speech and press through censorship and funding. If they censor us enough, funding for our work dries up. If that happens, we fail. And if the conservative free press fails, you will no longer have a voice of advocacy for your efforts that assure the rights of the people. Are you concerned about the First Amendment? Well, you should be. It's among the top biggest threats to liberty existing today. You can feel confident knowing that SBN will be powered tomorrow by the monetary gift you give today. So please, visit us at sbn.buzz/donate. With your help, we can win this battle. Without you, we lose. It's up to you to make sure that never happens. So thank you in advance for your donation at sbn.buzz/donate. With your help, there's nothing they can do that we the people can't overcome.
Coming right up after the news break, people will be taking your calls. During the live broadcast, dial
563-999-1449. That's 563-999-1449.
This is a Fox News alert mourning a former First Lady. I'm Dave Anthony. Barbara Bush was surrounded by family when she died last night in Houston.
I don't have a fear of death for my precious George or for myself, because I know that there is a great God.
That was her 5 years ago. Her husband is 73 years. Former President George H.W. Bush says he's heartbroken. Her son, who is also President George W. Bush, will be on Fox Business Network later this hour as tributes pour in from around the world.
Mrs. Bush will lie in repose at St. Martin's Episcopal Church here in Houston, Texas on Friday. The funeral services on Saturday will also be at the same church, followed by her burial at the Bush Presidential Library in College Station, Texas, which will be her final resting place.
That's Fox's Adam Housley outside the Bush home in Houston. President Trump's getting ready for a meeting at some point with North Korea's leader, and he tweeted, denuclearization will be a great thing for the world. CIA Director Mike Pompeo went to Pyongyang last week and met with Kim Jong-un. The president wrote the meeting went very smoothly, forming a good relationship. Southwest and other airlines are inspecting engines on 737 jets. The day after one exploded, killing a passenger on a Southwest flight that made an emergency landing in Philadelphia. Fox's Tanya J. Powers has more live.
Southwest CEO Gary Kelly says there were no problems with the plane or its engine when it was inspected on Sunday, as the NTSB is looking into what caused Flight 1380 to blow an engine, showering the jet with shrapnel and breaking a window. NTSB Chair Robert Sumwalt says one of the engine's fan blades was missing.
And our preliminary examination of this was that there's evidence of metal fatigue where the blade separated.
Wells Fargo Bank executive Jennifer Reardon of New Mexico was killed. Seven others were hurt, Dave.
Tanya, drama on a Southwest flight this morning. It struck a bird shortly after takeoff from Nashville, had to turn around and land. This is Fox News. Fair and balanced.
From sweet and spicy to fiery, bold and full of flavor, Brother Doc's is not your typical beef jerky. Never dry and brittle. This turkey comes beautifully packaged with large cuts of meat that are moist, tender, and chewy from beginning to end. Brother Doc's recipes contain the highest quality ingredients that result in innovative flavor masterpieces like orange teriyaki, barbecue mesquite, and their signature bold pepper flavors properly named Volcano and Burnout. Moderate pricing and great flavor will have you in beef jerky heaven. Go to sbn.buzz/brotherdocs to place your order so Doc knows you heard about him here on the Pete Santilli Show. It's true what they say about Brother Doc's beef jerky. One bite and you'll be a believer too.
President Trump also tweeted this morning about Stormy Daniels. The porn star claims she had sex with him years before he was elected. Daniels also claims some guy threatened her several years ago, and if she didn't keep quiet about it. The president commented on a sketch of the guy, calling him non-existent, adding it's a total con job.
In an appearance on The View, Stormy Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, revealed the composite of a man she says threatened her in 2011 over her allegations of an affair with the president over a decade ago. Twitter jokesters were quick to point out the sketch looks awfully familiar, saying it resembles New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Others say actors Willem Dafoe, Matt Damon, Mark Hamill, or a male model. Comparisons lighting up the site. One tweeting, man, Willem Dafoe's career has really taken a nosedive. Hamill getting in on the joke, tweeting, but I have an alibi for that day. Daniels and her attorney, Michael Avenatti, offering a $100,000 reward to anyone who can identify the perpetrator. I'm Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
One day next month, Starbucks is going to close all its locations in the afternoon to give workers racial bias sensitivity training.
What happened in our store that resulted in the arrest of these two young men was reprehensible. Shouldn't have happened.
That's CEO Kevin Johnson on Fox Business Network this morning, talking about the two men arrested in Philadelphia. That led to days of protests. The manager called police after they wanted to use the bathroom, didn't buy anything, and were not leaving. Surprised customers say the guys were not doing anything wrong. Well, if you did not make yesterday's tax deadline, you have one more day. The IRS extending it now to midnight tonight because of problems allowing people to file electronically yesterday. Some IRS computers had crashed. On Wall Street, stock futures are rising. The morning after the Dow went up 213 points. Most markets overseas also going higher. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Live from Cincinnati, Ohio, it's the Pete Santilli Show.
Charlotte Israbeat's entire life, she's been asking the question, this is wrong, why? And she's been trying to answer those questions over decades. Now, what has happened is something that we're discovering looking back, is that something incrementally has taken place to the point to where we don't even recognize that we're no longer a free country, that we don't have an education system that used to be what it was, of course. We don't have a traditional conservative movement any longer, and we got a bunch of people running around saying that they're conservatives. But one thing is for certain, Charlotte, is that in this last election, everyone revolted and said, we're going full-blown anti-establishment. We need to put, even if it's Homie the Clown in office, it didn't matter who the alternate candidate was. Donald Trump was perfectly placed and ripe, because the people are just about getting fed up. But something has happened here over many, many decades. I have your article up, and this is, I really want to focus on this in this segment. Our conservative movement has been literally hijacked. It has been hijacked. Conservatives running around saying they're conservative are not really conservative, and they're certainly not supportive when they vote Republican for anything conservative. They're the same thing as Democrats. They're installing socialism. They're installing communism all the way around, are they not?
Yes. And, you know, I think that I was probably selected by God Almighty. I don't know, because I was naive, you know, because I was, I've always been very much an optimist, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I meet people, I like all of them, you know, no matter what. Whether I don't care what color they are, what nationality, I don't care. You know, I'm just sort of, I wander through this world and the years, and I'm just feeling very happy about what, you know, the fact that I'm alive, and that is what caused me to be reluctant to go too far down the paths that were. I was directed towards. I should have seen it, but it's just as well I didn't, in a way. I often think about that. I mean, we have some marvelous researchers and writers who saw it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they, maybe they were smart. They just said, okay, that's it. I mean, when Reagan signed the agreements with Gorbachev to merge the two education systems, you'd think that that would have been, Charlotte would have said, I'm out of here.
Mm.
But for some odd reason, I really can't tell your audience why, I didn't. Well, I felt I had enough information from the department, you know, that I had to get out. And they didn't have all that stuff. So they were way ahead of me in many ways, but I had the documents. And so I just kept going on, and I kept... As you and all of us figure, you know, why would anybody, any of us Americans, if they knew what was going on, why would we ever dream that anyone amongst us, our elected officials, I don't care what party, why would they put in such a, that's the point right there.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they put in such an evil system,
mm-hmm.
which is going to destroy the future for our children? But then it's the semantic deception. You see, they use all these. My seven-prong fork started seven prongs. It's now 10, I think, but it's on the Internet. The devil's seven-prong fork. Very important for people to read. How they did it? You know, gradualism. frog in the cold water heated up. You don't even see what's going on. The dialectic, you know, is the Hegelian dialectic.
Right.
Create the problem. People scream. You can impose any solution you want. You know, the controlled media, Rockefeller and Baden-Baden, you know, thanking the media. You know, the Federal Reserve, you know, as much money as they want. You know, it goes on and on. And education values destruction, total destruction in the 70s through the programs coming out of my office. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I saw that as a local school board member, but I never dreamed I was going to be sitting in the office where all these programs came from.
Sure. Let me ask you something. This is an appropriately placed question because my listenership and people in alternative media, they're really, really smart. They're truth seekers. They've learned how to go from conspiracy theory to factualized stuff. Everything that you speak of is backed up. You've crossed your T's, dotted your I's. And over many, many decades, okay, even the opposing forces that we're up against here, when we talk about Skull and Bones and those powerful people, they're not that powerful if they didn't have a brainwashed population. The majority of the populace has always remained. The only reason why people don't stop, read your material and say, wow, this is communism, we need to stop this thing, is because you've been outnumbered by a populace that has been literally brainwashed methodically, systematically.
Well, yeah, and the reason for this, and I put it's right at the feet of the Council for National Policy and the Heritage Foundation, not the left. Not the middle, left. I mean, public school teachers, I've always had good relations with them because they tried, you know, behind closed doors to stop this. Mm-hmm. And everybody beats up on them. But no, it's the neoconservative Trotskyites that have boycotted everything that I've ever written. And I'm going to tell you a funny story. The head of the Northeast Regional Lab in Newton, Massachusetts, very important, high up change agent.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine who worked, met her later, worked for him. She said, she saw my book, Deliberate Dumbing Down, in my house in Camden. She said, oh, I didn't know you'd written that. And she said to me, my boss has that book right on his desk. He won't let me move it.
Mm-hmm.
And here, what I'm trying to say is, he recognized, major education change agent, running one of the big labs, funded my old office, he considered that book absolutely 100% research on education programs and the history. He was using it.
Mm.
The enemy was using my book.
Huh. To reverse engineer their agenda, to nudge themselves forward.
Yes, they knew that it was correct. They were looking up stuff and they were finding my documents. And then they'd go on the internet and look for that document, and they'd find what they were looking for. I mean, come on, folks. Mm. Well, the conservatives didn't like that. I must say, I didn't realize that. When I looked at that Council for National Policy list that you've got, huh? The one that Ross Haley and I tried to get all those people to on our little grassroots effort to get out of the UN, with the legislation that Ralph Scarborough had drafted, when Ross and I sent out to 300 members, we're trying to get out of it with our postcard project. That's the article you've got there.
Mm-hmm.
And we got one answer out of the whole list. You've got the list there.
Yes.
You can see all the names. You can see all the Trump people in there. Look at it. Look at that. It's shocking. Now Charlotte is on a white horse, but it is a little bit late. The horse is so damn dirty, but this really put the horse's head in the you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
That proves, without a doubt, that we've been looking the wrong way for the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know the left's enemy. We know Ted Kennedy was one of the worst. We know all of them, their names, backwards and forwards. That's all the conservative media talks about. It's the rotten state and left. But they never talk because they're hiding. They're the enemy.
Yes,
and now Charlotte says it. I should have said it back in 1985, huh? No, I didn't. I just kept saying, oh, no, that can't be true.
No, and Charlotte, let me now we can relate all of this to present times because as we look, well, let me go back. You were part of the Reagan administration. History and the populace recognizes Ronald Reagan as a great president. And in fact, he did certain things in his alliance with Mikhail Gorbachev to destroy our education system that we know right now has it's just a failed communist core system that we're trying to unravel. And then, of course, the conservatives come forward and say, oh, what about school choice? We've got school choices. What's better, the communist Soviet-style public education system or school choice?
Well, they have school choice in the Soviet Union, too, the same kind.
Yes, that's right.
And they even call it contract schools.
Right.
They're a little more honest, not charters.
So here we are with somebody who they're saying, okay, we're going to put President Trump in office. He's doing great things. He's going to become a great president. He's doing awesome things with North Korea, so on and so forth. And he's got the potential to become a great president. Well, what does that mean for us? What is he doing that could be potentially harmful to us going forward, as Reagan did with our education system?
He doesn't have the potential. He doesn't even know how to operate diplomatically.
Mm.
He doesn't understand protocol. I mean, I hope he's not setting a standard, a new normal, for presidents of the United States to tweet. He's the most dangerous individual that ever arrived on this planet. Maybe
wow.
He's, let's give him credit. Maybe he's just stupid.
Mm.
I don't know. It's scary too to be stupid.
Did you vote for him?
I don't understand this. I worked in the Foreign Service for a long time, right?
You voted for Trump,
now, look,
by the way, right? You voted for Trump.
What?
You voted for President Trump, correct?
Yeah, I apologize. But you know what? I apologize. But I've been to this before at the polls, right? I raised a lot of money. I wrote a great big thing that I got out across the country, and it was basically for the Republicans up at the convention in Bangor to keep them from supporting John McCain, a great big one-pager. People can find that on the Internet. So I put all the money into that, and then I go to the polls. It's for people to know. You know, Charlotte is pretty... I go to the polls, and I see Obama and McCain. Well, yeah, and I vote for John McCain. But I didn't want to vote for Obama. I mean, look, here we go.
Yeah.
I mean, here it's been all... I mean, informing everybody about traitor McCain in Vietnam, remember?
Oh, yes.
You know that.
That's right.
I mean, anybody in the military knows that.
So, Charlotte, let me ask you this. So we have President Trump. You have that option of Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. And
that's
now
right.
He comes
thing.
In office. Now, hold on a second. He actually brought somebody with him, somebody very influential, Betsy DeVos, to fix this problem with the Department of Education.
Yes, he knew. He had every... Well, I don't know. You know what's funny? A friend of mine knew, what's his name, Cohen, the lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And so she had met him. And so she sent about 10 letters to him about my work and everything, and you've got to, you know, get through to Trump about school choice and charters and all. I don't think she ever got an answer, but she had his actual address. And actually, I even talked to him. I feel quite famous. Listen, I talked to him by mistake on the phone. I was calling, trying to get through to the Trump people in New York in regard to school choice and charters and to inform the president what a mistake he was making.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, guess who answered the phone? Cohen.
He did. Cohen answered the
lawyer.
Uh-huh.
He answered. He answered the phone. I said, "Oh." He said, "Well, I'm just having my morning coffee," and he was in his apartment somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Oh, I'm really sorry to bother you. You know, I thought I'd get through to, you know, secretary or something." And he said, "Well, that's all right." And so I told him about my concerns. He was very quick. I knew that, you know, he was polite, but I knew that I wanted to take. It wasn't even at work yet, huh? He was taking my call. And so it's really true that he does take every call from everywhere. But so he said he'd forward it on to the president, which he didn't do. Or he did. And I think Trump knew all along. In fact, he calls for this, as I said, in his book called, what is it called, Fractured America, that he wrote before he ran for office. He calls for school choice, school choice and charters. He's a businessman, of course. The corporations, all they care, they're going to take our money, our tax money, your, you know, private money, and they, it's just to use our children to spin off profits to the global elite. That's all.
Okay, so so Betsy DeVos is not the solution to the problems with our education system. You're saying that?
No. First of all, you know, even if I supported school choice and charters, she has no understanding whatsoever of education. She doesn't understand the method which they're using, which has to be used for charter schools, for workforce training. You have to have the Skinner method. I can make a pigeon a high achiever by reinforcing it with grain or whatever on a proper schedule. Now, that's what they're doing. That's the method that I studied, too. I had my teacher was Ann Herzer. She was the person who first informed me of the horror story of using animal training for our children.
Oh, unbelievable. Like a pigeon, you said?
Well, that's what Skinner said, yes.
Yes. Wow.
And look, the COPS program, community-oriented policing, is using the same system. They're giving gold medals to citizens. I wrote an article on this about 15 years ago. Little gold, not real gold, medals to citizens who do good deeds. The police.
Little trinkets.
And they determine what the good deed is. And you get your little medal. That's operant conditioning. That's Pavlov.
Right, Pavlovian, right. Yeah.
It's going in across the country. We are nothing but animals. That's the way they look at us, right? It's true. We're animals. We're not human beings with a soul and a conscience any longer.
Now,
C.S. Lewis, he said, when this is, comes to, just listen to this. When training beats education, civilization dies.
Yes. We're on our last breaths here. Charlotte, you know what? I'm going to not interrupt our flow here, but as it relates to charter schools, I've never had the chance to talk to you about this. Do you know who Fethullah Gulen is with the charter school networks?
Absolutely, yes. And very bad, very, very bad. And I couldn't agree more, but I'll tell you that associated with that, the conservative movement,
yes,
they would never take a stand against the illegality, the unconstitutionality of charter schools, which have no elected boards but take federal money, right? They won't take a stand against charter schools in general. They love them. But they will only take a stand against the Gulen schools. That's disgusting. They have a perfect right to. I hate Gulen schools, too. It's teaching, you know, Islam, radical Islam. But why not come out against the system, the loss of representative government through the charter school, Gulen? Go after both the philosophy behind it and the fact that it's unconstitutional because it's a charter school.
Right. But if you can fearmonger and say that he's part of the global Islamic movement and he's running charter schools,
then
you can get the conservatives energized to oppose it.
Yeah.
Forget about the fact that it's a system that's destroying our way of life.
I mean, it's absolutely outrageous that they would be, that we are allowing, let's say it's a public, you know, public schools probably would not do it. That's the point, see? Because then we'd have an elected board. That would say, huh? I mean, we've got bad elected boards now. We've even got Muslims on the boards, huh? But not all Muslims are radical either. It's probably 1 out of 100, huh? They are.
Right.
I mean, people got to give some of them credit. Not all Muslims are radical Islam. And not all Jews are the Talmud either, You know, you got to do your homework.
Yes.
And try to like people. Generally speaking, you sit down with them and talk to them and go to your... I was talking to an interview the other day about where all this came from. I think I said it to you. Roosevelt, the New Deal?
Yes.
The reason that people don't care about anything anymore, and we don't care about our neighbors, and we don't talk to anybody anymore, and there's no communication, is because we don't care about our neighbor's child that's dying of cancer or whatever, or the dog got run over, or they don't have enough money for groceries. We don't give a you-know-what. You know why? Because Roosevelt started the New Deal, which gave the government. The government is the one that provides all of this. So that absolutely destroys your conscience, your feeling of responsibility, your
motivation,
love for your neighbor.
Yeah.
What? And we've ended up being a narcissistic, absolutely no empathy country. This is sad.
And apathetic, too. Let me steer us back here.
Yeah.
Because let's talk about this, because we can talk about this Heritage Foundation. And yesterday I mentioned a name to you that may not have had any significance, but I believe that it does, because I did some research here. Heritage Foundation, right, for instance, we're apathetic. Yeah. We get energized right before, during, and after an election. You know, if we lose an election, then we get re-energized and say, it's not going to happen in the next. And it's a vicious cycle, but we're ultimately apathetic. We allow an organization like the Heritage Foundation to be infiltrated by communists. Then we get somebody like, and I want you to comment here and give us a history lesson. Now we have this Rebecca Mercer and Steve Bannon. You know the name Steve Bannon, right?
Oh, yes.
They're hand in hand. They come with a big bag of cash, and Steve Bannon and his power. They basically went into the Heritage Foundation and supposedly started cleaning house. But what have the conservatives gotten from the Heritage Foundation over the past 30 years? What have they gotten?
Well, it makes them feel good. They get invited to all the, because they're in every state, right, under different names. But they get invited to these luncheons, and, you know, one of those luncheons is where the audience told Samuel to shut up and sit down. This is my son, the Marine combat vet, first Gulf War.
Yes.
You know, he wants to spill the beans about the corruption and what happened in Portland and how he was identified and targeted to be dead. And because the mayor had been invited as a guest speaker. So we have this fact sheet about what happened. And we're not allowed by the Heritage Foundation guy there. Oh, no, we can't discuss that. You know, we'll discuss that later. And the mayor lies and says it never happened, although he listened to the audio, which says it planned to pop Sam in the head. And it's not federal now, huh? I mean, that was Heritage Foundation in Maine that happened. And that's going on all over the country. Every state has it's brilliant the way it works. See, it's a little, it's a spider web. And they've taken over all the conservatives across the country, and you try to tell these people what's really going on, and they're so brainwashed because they go to these regular luncheons and they get their goodies, they get their cookies, just like I said, with the, you know, the pigeons are all being fed.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, but you know, there's another one that nobody wants to mention. I mean, this has never come out, and when they mention his name, Paul Manafort?
Yes.
Oh, Paul Manafort, you've heard of Tugwell's new constitution.
Yes.
You know, the new constitution that all the conservatives are so upset about, the con-con, oh, we got to stop the con-con. Well, the constitution's dead in the water anyway at the local level, and you know that, Pete. Anyway, they're so upset about con-con. Well, con-con, interesting enough, was a result of Rexford Tugwell's new state's constitution. Well, Paul Manafort ran the whole office out in California. California.
Really?
Paul Manafort. Listen, folks. Have you heard that one before?
No.
The Center for the Study for whatever, the new constitution? Nobody ever mentions that. Thank you, Donald Trump. Are you so stupid? You don't know. That's why I say, patriots or Manchurian candidate, go read that article I wrote. Trump, how could he have been a successful businessman when he is so unsuccessful? Or is it deliberate? Is he dumb or is he smart?
Is President Trump's whatever? I mean, a lot of people are critical, and there's also a lot of people that are very, very supportive. Charlotte, I'm just gonna flat out ask you this. I understand you bring a almost like a smelling salt to get me to snap out of my Trumpianism, to make sure that I'm aware of my surroundings here. What do we do at this point? Do we allow the Marxists to take over, or do we get behind pushing Trump forward with whatever it is that he's doing? Is it anything good for us? What do we do at this point? Who do we turn to?
Well, you know, I became involved in this whole thing way back. I joined the philosophy committee in the school before I was on the school board.
Mm-hmm.
And our Marxist superintendent asked us all about, what do you think schools should do? And I said, well, I think they should teach strong academics, right? And strong morals and values. And I had these people in the group, some were okay, said, some of the bad ones said, whose values? And I thought, what's happened in my country? Okay, now, let's fast forward. Have you heard anybody talking about morality or morals in the past 10 or 20 years in the major media? Have you? Well,
goodness.
You know what? Yeah, I hope everyone's... They're probably going to hang up on you right now, any listeners. I tell you, I'm rather... I've gotten a point now where I will accept a bonbon once in a while that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
When Jim Comey talked about the morality in the White House, I understood what he said. Now, I'm looking up Jim Comey, and I know he's a Republican, and so is Mueller. And I'm looking up the incident with Ashcroft, you know, Missouri, the former attorney general, and how he went in there, and both of them together, sort of, Comey and Mueller. And they got to Ashcroft in time to get him to make the right decision, which was against the Bushes. People should look that up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, let's find out just how horrible Robert Mueller and Jim Comey are compared to what we have at the moment.
Mm.
Let's check their backgrounds, folks. I've been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't come to my conclusion yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I do appreciate the fact that James Comey has mentioned that word.
Morality.
In regard to our administration,
mm-hmm.
and all that's been going on, and the president's behavior,
yeah.
and that the evangelical community can accept this.
Yeah. I mean, that's undeniable. You cannot say that we have not become we're an immoral nation, are we not?
Yeah, we're not no longer amoral, we're immoral.
You know what brought that to mind? You know what brought that to mind? And you have to recognize this, that Barbara Bush was a moral, righteous woman. She was.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to say that. She, as the first lady, she really, really was. And we're not the same country now that we were then.
No, and I think that, you know, the Bushes are all the order at Yale and all that.
Sure.
But, you know, she's not her fault. But Jeb, you know, he's all in favor of charter schools came up. They pushed it up in Maine. Our governor fell for all the garbage. And that made me mad. But Jeb, you know, people got upset with me because I was sort of saying, well, you know, before I voted, I don't know, maybe I would prefer Jeb. And then they say, oh, how can you say such a thing? He's all for charter schools. And I said, well, I know, but I hate charter schools more than anything in the world because that's the end of our representative form of government.
Mm.
But I think I prefer him to Donald Trump. Well, now we find out that Donald Trump supports charter schools, too.
Yeah, geez.
So in a way, maybe we would have been better off with Jeb.
All right, Charlotte, here's what I want you to do. I'm not going to interrupt you for the next 6 minutes. I want you to speak to our listening audience. And I want, because everybody's frustrated, we don't know which direction to turn. We have
well,
to.
Well, neither do I.
You said you're an optimist, okay? So you know what we need to do. You know what we need to do. We're just not doing it. And that's why you're somewhat frustrated. Talk to every single person right now and say, this is what we need to do. We haven't been doing it. We're failing. We're in a downward spiral. Take the remaining balance and until the music, the end of the segment. We're going to bring you back on, but I want you to speak to our listening audience of what we need to do to fix things.
Well, yeah, I just think that, you know, turn off the TV And, well, really, why don't you just, you know what you should do? That's a little book. It's only 39 pages. Back to Basics Reform. That's a very important little book. I was reading it myself this morning, and, you know, I wrote it, and that's an important book. Type it into Google, Back to Basics Reform, or OBE, which is Outcome-Based Skinner Method, Outcome-Based Education, Skinnerian International Curriculum. And I said in an asterisk on that, right, I wrote it in 85, I said, necessary for United States participation in a socialist one world government scheduled for the early years of the 21st century. And that's the book that the conservatives immediately boycotted. They said, oh, she should rewrite it. They said, oh, she's just sour grapes because she got fired. I got myself fired, by the way, folks. I didn't have to get fired. I did it myself. Do you know why I did it? I found a page in a grant that was going out in regard to the Better Education Skills Through Technology, and it said on it, no, I'm not kidding, it marked it confidential, actually. It's not CIA, it's Department of Ed, huh? It said, what we can control and manipulate at the local level. And then it listed curriculum, et cetera. Task force members, that's why I leaked the document, basically, along with technology I didn't like. But I saw that. And that little book, you really ought to read it, because everything that's in it has happened. And I warned the country. It only cost $10. Still cost $10. That book was boycotted across the board. Every single conservative organization in this country, traditional values think, Concerned Women of America, Beverly Hay, she invited me down to speak in New Jersey on education, and then she found out I had this book with me, and she said, you can't sell that here.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And then Phyllis Schlafly's people said it ought to be rewritten. Nobody can understand it, I'll tell you. nobody can understand it. And they are the ones that said I was sour grapes. I wrote it because I was sour grapes. This is Eagle Forum. All right. So what I say is, don't you ask me, you've got to do your own homework. You've got to, when people say somebody's evil, give that person a chance. Just like I'm saying Ed Fulner and the whole crowd there at Heritage are evil. Well, you don't have to believe me. Just go look at the list of the Council for National Policy members and then track them down. Now, there was only one in that whole list who responded to Rosalind Haley's and my call for getting out of the UN in the mid-90s. And she was the grand dame of Heritage, and she was furious. She was our representative to the UN, too, like this wretched Haley. What's her name that we've got in there? Nikki.
Nikki Haley. Wretched. Yeah.
So Rosalind was a marvelous, wonderful person. Her husband was Evetts Haley, who wrote the major book on Lyndon Johnson. Rosalind was a good friend of mine, and she and I were the ones who wanted to get us out of the UN. We were upset about all those military operations that were going on all around the country in the mid-90s, you know, the Germans, the Russians, everybody. And we were upset, and we figured we have to get out. And we had this great project. And that's in the article you have. Now, you asked me what to do. People have got to start reading the alternative. I mean, maybe they should just start reading some of my articles.
Yes.
But the most important article is, and probably the last one I ever have to write, is the one I sent you there about the takeover. What's it called?
The Hijacking, and I have it on the screen,
yes.
And we've republished it on our website, The Hijacking,
yes,
of the Traditional Conservative Movement. It came from Rents.com. Yep.
Yes, and Jeff, by the way, has been just, while you were in the box, Jeff fought the Elementary and Secondary Education Act thing, along with all of us. He did. He was our greatest supporter. When Sam had these horrible incidents, he put all that stuff out. And Americans should thank him. from the bottom of their hearts for telling the truth. And now we've got you back finding out of your...
That's right. And you know what? Let's conclude by saying that I'm going to have you back on if you would be so gracious to join me back again. So much to talk about. But, you know, you said something. You are an optimist, Charlotte. And at the same time, you have that same level of frustration, I think, that we all have, especially those that are awake. But I am an optimist, and we are a godly people as well.
Yes, I hope we are.
Yes, we are. And I believe that we've got God on our side, that we can help awaken. We have to awaken the masses to the truth about what we're wallowing in. Yuri Bezmenov said we would be demoralized over multiple decades. And that's what's happened to us. We've been lied to. The mainstream media lies to us. But thank God for you. You are a national treasure, and I thank you for joining me. Charlotte, thank you so much.
Well, you're a national treasure, and especially you're out of the box.
Thank you so much, Charlotte. We'll have you on next time. I'll talk to you off the air.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
NaturalHempOil.com isn't just a website that sells CBD oil. It's a virtual academy where you will find everything you need to make well-informed choices for a CBD. Since CBD oil became available in 2012, over 100,000 satisfied customers have bought their products from the very first mainstream distributor of hemp oil at NaturalHempOil.com. The mission at Natural Hemp Oil is not only to provide you with the highest quality CBD oil products on the market. NaturalHempOil.com isn't just a website that sells CBD oil. It's a virtual academy where you will find everything you need to make well-informed choices for a CBD oil that's just right for you. People all over the world are raving about the tremendous benefits of using CBD to supplement their cannabidiol intake. And as research has shown, almost every person on the planet has a depleted supply in their bodies. If you've been curious about CBDs and want to experience one of the most popular, purest oils on the market, visit NaturalHempOil.com today. Your mind, body, and spirit will thank you tomorrow. To get an extra 10% off, don't forget to use promo code PEEP before placing your order.
From sweet and spicy to fiery, bold and full of flavor, Brother Doc's is not your typical beef jerky. Never dry and brittle. This jerky comes beautifully packaged with large cuts of meat that are moist, tender, and chewy from beginning to end. Brother Doc's recipes contain the highest quality ingredients that result in innovative flavor masterpieces, like orange teriyaki, barbecue mesquite, and their signature bold pepper flavors properly named Volcano and Burnout. Moderate pricing and great flavor will have you in beef jerky heaven. Go to sbn.buzz/brotherdocs to place your order so Doc knows you heard about him here on the Pete Santilli Show. It's true what they say about Brother Doc's beef jerky. One bite and you'll be a believer too.
Since 2011, the Pete Santilli Show has been powered by people like you who want more than just another daily dose of mainstream media. Because of you, we've been able to reach millions of people worldwide. Without you, none of it would have been possible. Asking for your help is never easy, but we know you want a network that knows how important it is that you get the best, most up-to-date information when news breaks in your community and around the world. And when it comes to information given to you fast and on time, nobody does it better than SBN. With you behind us, SBN has been able to bring historical events right into your living room in real time, in their entirety, as they happen. No other news source can make that claim. Now more than ever before in the history of the free press have we been so close to losing it. There is a concerted effort to shut down voices that bring you the good news of liberty and the global threat to freedom. The liberal left has a plan to destroy conservative alternative media by denying us the right to freedom of speech and press through censorship and funding. If they censor us enough, funding for our work dries up. If that happens, we fail. And if the conservative free press fails, you will no longer have a voice of advocacy for your efforts that assure the rights of the people. Are you concerned about the First Amendment? Well, you should be. It's among the top biggest threats to liberty existing today. You can feel confident knowing that SBN will be powered tomorrow by the monetary gift you give.
Giant leap towards the truth.
On this show, if you've landed on the Pete Santilli show, let's say you came from Liberty One TV, you've been on the path as an awakened individual trying to seek the truth, find the truth, align with like-minded individuals, because we, the people, individually are wanting to do our part to learn the truth, get ourselves educated. We're concerned about our country. And we've arrived here at this moment in our nation's history. So we were upset because of the options that were before us back during the election to either vote for Hillary Clinton and be in the death throes of a constitutional republic, or we had an opportunity to send somebody there to drain the swamp. And right now, I believe, as a, you know, I say full-blown Trumpian, a full-blown Trumpian who is loyal to what? Okay, so we don't have Hillary Clinton. We've got Trump. Do we stop there? Yesterday I said we need to get behind him, and we do. We need to get behind what? We need to get behind the principles that all of us right now, that if you're hearing my voice, we all share. They're godly principles. They're constitutional principles. Their principles of truth, honor, integrity, all of those good things, and in opposition to the Marxism that's come upon our country. If President Trump makes a mistake, we have to be able to be loyal to those principles, not to, you know, a Hitlerian figure, okay? Or a figure, a head that's going to do everything for us. Charlotte Iserbeet said it very, very articulately. Dating all the way back to Roosevelt. Roosevelt, the New Deal, the money that was pumped into the system after the Great Depression, we have become reliant over many, many decades upon a government to take care of all of our problems. And we've deferred to someone else, when in fact, Deb and I need to be on the lookout for a neighbor that's in need and go take care of them and not wait for anybody else, right? We founded this show on that principle, like, we're not going to rely upon anybody else to go tell the truth. We're going to do it ourselves. Right? We said the mainstream media is lying. They have satellite trucks. We've been up against them. Multi-millions of dollars standing there with an iPad and a microphone in camouflage in 10-degree below weather up against that machine saying, we're getting out to more people right now that are starved for information. You guys are slicing and dicing your stuff up into 3.5-minute packages, and you're lying. You're not telling the American people the truth. We went up against that. So I say this with tremendous optimism, that we the people can come together to take care of our problems. But it must occur in the following manner. I believe in individualism. Marxism wants us to be stripped of our individualism and give ourselves to the collective. They cannot succeed, including the conservative movement being hijacked. They want you to serve. They constantly want us to, and I said it yesterday, I said we have to get behind Trump. And it's not getting behind Trump. We need to get behind principles that are not Marxist. Okay? We've been dealt that hand. So we have to stick to our principles. We must be loyal to the principles of individuality, of everyone doing their part to make a contribution to advance us in the right direction as a nation. And if Trump makes a mistake as well, we need to oppose that, while at the same time continuing to advance this thing. Do not, okay, if it's Heritage Foundation, if it's the community, you know, the conservative movement as a whole, asking us to surrender our individuality, to make a donation, then send it up the chain of command. They take our money, and they say, we're going to do conservative stuff. We're speaking conservative to you. Guess what we've gotten by being loyal to that conservative movement? We've got an incremental advancement towards a communist education system. We've got a government that's many, many times exponentially larger. This is a conservative movement that essentially believes in less government. No, we have much more government over many, many decades than back in the Reagan days. Reagan was talking about less government. What do we have since Reagan? He was the great conservative, the great orator that was leading the charge in that direction. We got exponentially larger government since then. That's where we've been led by these conservatives. How do we turn that around? We stick to our principles. We say we want less government. We want better education, President Trump. Betsy DeVos is not the solution. She's not the solution. We want a constitutional republic. Do we want to make compromises constitutionally? No, we don't. We want to hold Trump accountable to that. When we have a success story, like I discussed with Neil Gorsuch, the Supreme Court justice, we need to highlight, feature that, stick together as individuals to educate the public on what actually happened. It wasn't a defeat for anything having to do with deportation. It was a victory for the constitutionality of not watering down or giving the government the opportunity to broadstroke and say, oh, you were involved in a criminal event, you're going to be deported. You've been involved in a violent crime, you're going to be held for 619 days, as I was, because you've got so many charges stacked against you. It's unconstitutional. So what do we do? Charlotte Iserbeet has grown frustrated because, I mean, she's put together every single tool that we as a populace ever has to, I mean, we could spend an entire lifetime, an entire lifetime. If you're 18 years old right now, you're listening to my voice, you could go read Charlotte Iserbeet's library on American deception for the rest of your life. And not be done. And not even have a clue as to what's happening. Because we're so immersed in this thing. I asked Charlotte, don't give up. You know, certainly don't give up. You know, we're you know, like before you get to the finish line. And she goes, no. We're way past that. She's frustrated because we've been so brainwashed. Even us conservatives, even me. I need to make time to get myself better educated on the historical documents that are contained on American deception and to factualize some of the theories she's brought forward about how the conservative movement has been hijacked. It's literally the Republicans, the conservatives, have literally been hijacked, period. How do we unravel that? There's only one way, and that is to get educated as to how we've been hijacked. Who's done it? I mean, I put up on the screen earlier, and I also published this article, The Hijack of the Traditional Conservative Movement. It is a very, very extensive article. I want you to read it. Click through the links. That's going to be the first step. We have to get ourselves educated. That includes me. We have to keep promoting what Charlotte Iserbeet has dedicated her entire life. You heard her story. I think we did a great job, Deb, of her and I, of laying out her history. She loves the people of the world. And she's always been very, very curious. And she said, you know what? I think I've been blessed by the good Lord to do these things. And if she saw something done wrong, what did she do? She blew the whistle on it. So why can't we be that? Why can't we do that? We need to take that same approach that she did. We can't fall into this trap that Roosevelt started. The New Deal, the money. We're in the money. We're going to have health care for everybody, Social Security, and all of a sudden, we just defer to the government. Somebody else, oh, we have poverty? The government's going to eradicate poverty. We We got a poor person out on the street. I hope the government truck's going to come up and pick this person up and take them to a homeless shelter. No, we need to take these people in under our own roofs. I'm using this as an example. What are we going to do ourselves if we're not as educated as we need to be? We need to get educated. We need to become the individual whistleblowers, each and every one of us, to dedicate ourselves to, for the rest of our lives, to making sure that when we speak and we say you've hijacked the conservative movement, that we know exactly what we're referring to. She backs it up with facts. She has 45 years of history behind her, and she backs everything up with facts. When she says that Donald Trump, as she said, she's disappointed in having voted for Donald Trump, she's very genuine because she sees what he's in there doing. And it's not what she expected him to be doing. She voted for Donald Trump because of what Hillary Clinton was going to do to our country. But she's not going to stop and say, well, I voted for Trump. I'm just going to go ahead and give him a free pass, and hopefully we'll find somebody else in the next election. No. She comes on the show, and she says, I hope you don't mind. I'm very disappointed in President Trump. I said, I want you to speak truthfully. We need to learn from you. She's been through this cycle. How many times in her history? She's 87 years old. Okay? If we do not respect, listen to our elders, especially somebody of her caliber. You know, I hate to be so cliche. If we don't listen to that woman right there, Charlotte Iserby, and if we don't learn from the mistakes that we've made in history, then we are doomed. Then we are doomed. We have all of the tools that are available to us, all the resources. I'm going to do my absolute darndest to share as much of her material as I possibly can. You know, I said it before that we had to set up a page dedicated to her. We did that with the Guerrilla Media Network. On that website, I had a page set up. I'm going to do the same thing on the Pete Santilli Show. Provide all the links to her articles. I made a note. Everybody Google and search for Patriot or Manchurian Candidate. She wrote that article. She's a beautiful writer. The Devil's Seven-Pronged Fork, she wrote that. Go Google that, read that. She said, get the book Back to Basics Reform, OBE. We need to go get that book. We need to get that book, and we need to share it. And that's all we can do, is little bit at a time, as incrementally as our nation has been destroyed, incrementally we can get ourselves up to par, up to speed, incrementally. Can't do it overnight. It's going to take some time. But shame on me for not having read every single document on American deception. I have them all. I do. I downloaded every single document. I actually have them stored offshore just in case her website gets taken out like it did. American Deception is up. But her website, The Dumbing Down, was taken out. I did that for her protection. Those are archives. I should have read every single one of those documents. And I haven't. I'm going to. American Deception, that library alone is priceless. I'm going to continue to share Charlotte Iserby with our listening audience. I'm going to continue to have her on, whether she is for President Trump or against President Trump. I need a smelling salt every once in a while because I'm so Trumpian. I need her to wake me up like she did yesterday when I spoke with her off the air. This episode that I've done with her, it was the best interview that I've done with her. Now, I also want you to go take a look at and get yourself educated on who this Supreme Court justice is, Neil Gorsuch. And I want you to take a look at what the mainstream media today, that's your first bit of homework right now, is to go take a look at what the mainstream media, compare that to what I told you about what Neil Gorsuch, the Supreme Court justice nominated by President Trump, to go there and be constitutional and Scalia-like, and then compare that to what Jeff Sessions would have preferred that he did, to give Jeff Sessions the opportunity to deport everybody and jail everybody to suit his old school, good old boy network agenda. And then take a look at what the mainstream media is out there pushing compared to the truth about what I told you, having spent years and being a victim of what he just ruled on. A victim of it. Incarcerated. That's your homework. This episode is the fastest episode that ever... This is the fastest 3 hours I've ever done. When I say this, I say I love you guys. I do. Every day. Round the clock. We will be back. We will not stop. We will not give in. We will do our part. We will take care of our neighbor. That is you. With love. Every single day. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Same time. Same place. Have a good day.